Glad that you can join us for day number four of our meditations and devotions as we continue our time of prayer and seeking our Father's face that we may be filled with His Spirit. And I've been so blessed by so many of you who have both commented in the chat as well as write to me personally. I was very much blessed by our meditation yesterday, and that life comes through blessing. And unless we become as little children and allow Jesus to take us up in His arms and to bless us, we cannot be part of the kingdom of God. I was reminded, and I might talk about this in another presentation, related to the Sabbath, how that there is a story, well, in Exodus 31, it says, "Whoever does not keep the Sabbath will surely be put to death." And of course, those words can be translated, "shall surely die" or "perish." And the Sabbath is one of the blessings, one of the most important blessings that God has given us. And whoever does not receive this blessing will die. And I'm reminded of the story of the orphanage in Romania of small children that were never picked up, were never hugged, and were never loved, and they died. So we cannot exist without words of encouragement and tender touch. We need these things to live, and we need them from the one who gave us life. So today I want to talk about the Agape Son. But before I begin, for all who can, let us kneel together and we will pray. Beloved Father, we come to you with hearts full of joy that you have called us your sons and your daughters, that you have drawn us with your Spirit. No man, no woman can come to you except your Spirit draw him. And our hearts are drawn out to you. And as we meditated upon in the first presentation, there is none who seek after God. And therefore, as we are seeking after you, it means that you are seeking after us. And so, Father, our hearts are full of gratitude. Thank you for seeking for us who were lost. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for all the wounds and agony that you have endured, that we might have eternal life. On behalf of my brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that we love you, Father, and you are our greatest joy. We worship you, and we ask all of the angels of heaven to strike a higher note in praise of your holy name. Be with us, Father. Give me the words to speak, thank you for the prayers of my brothers and sisters, and bless us as we spend this time together as a family. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. My whole journey began with the words of the Father at the baptism. You are my beloved Son, in whom I delight. Those words spoke very deeply to me and drew me to study them. And this whole message that we have been sharing is always coming back to Matthew 3 and verse 17. You are my beloved Son. And the word beloved in the Greek is agape. So when the Father spoke, he said, this is my agape Son, in whom I delight. And if we come to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, and we read in verse 13. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed or translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. The Son of his agape. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 tells us God is agape. And Jesus is the Son of agape. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. God's invisible agape is manifested visibly in the Son of God. This is where we see the agape of the Father. Staying in Colossians chapter 1, we read in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And so Jesus is the manifestation of God's agape. And those of us who have studied the subject of Father and Son believe the words of the Apostle Paul in Hebrews when it says that Christ is the express image of the Father, and that by inheritance he obtained a more excellent name, Hebrews 1, 3 and 4. So agape is defined by Paul in 1 Corinthians. And for a good overview of agape, I would recommend to you Daniel Bernhardt's book, The Agape of God, or Eros. This will give you a good overview. I have touched on this in the book My Beloved, in the later chapters also. These two books will give you an overview, but in its simple form, let us read the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. And I want to start reading from verse 4, where Paul speaks of what love is rather than what it isn't. Love, or agape, suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. These are all describing our Father. Our Father suffers long. He is kind. He does not envy anyone. He does not parade himself or try and promote himself. He doesn't puff himself up. He doesn't behave rudely and does not seek his own, for his own benefit alone at the exclusion of others. Agape doesn't do this. Agape is not provoked. And I say, O Father, let me have your spirit that I cease to be provoked to anger. Agape thinks no evil, does not imagine that someone is doing something nasty to them, does not fabricate stories about other people, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And now some very important points in verse 7. Bears all things. Agape bears all things. Agape never comes to the point of saying, I can't take it anymore. It never does this. It believes all things that come from the Father. It hopes all things. It never gives up. It endures all things. And this is describing our Father. Love never fails. Agape never fails. It never gives up. And in order to bear all things and to think no evil and to be kind is a love that is completely selfless, to endlessly put up with another person's foolishness is selfless. It is gracious. And this is our Father. And everything that we see in our Father, well, he's invisible to us. Everything we know of our Father is seen in the person of Jesus Christ, who received all things from the Father. In order for Jesus to be an agape son, he must have received everything from his Father. Otherwise, he cannot be an agape son. An agape son, or the son of agape, means that he is given everything. And this is so important to understand, that the Son of God can only be the manifestation of agape if we know that he received all things from his Father. We don't need to be in doubt about this, because the book of John tells us exactly this. John chapter 3, John 3 and verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. All things are given to Jesus, and that's what makes him the Son of Agape, because Agape gave everything to him. That's what Agape does. That's what love does, and God is love. Matthew 28, verse 18. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. The Father gave all authority to his Son, gave him everything, gave him his throne, his seat. The Father held nothing back from his Son. He gave it all to him without money and without price. He gave it to him through the relationship, because he is his Son. He gave him everything. And here we see the great difference between the Son of Agape and, can I say, the Son of Eros, or God the Son. In my understanding, God the Son is the Son of Eros. And Eros is a love of self. It is the love of one's own beauty. And therefore, in loving beauty, it is drawn to anything that is beautiful and seeks to devour it, possess it, control it, dominate it. In short, Eros is narcissistic, seeks all for itself. In cosmic terms, Eros is a black hole. It sucks everything in and lets nothing escape. And what is the difference between the Son of Agape, the Son of God, and God the Son of Eros? The great difference is quite simple to understand. The Son of God, in having received all things from his Father, is full of gratitude. His heart is full of gratefulness to his Father. Father, you would give me all things. You pour all your blessing upon me. I've done nothing to be worthy of this in myself, but you have given it to me freely. The heart of Jesus is full of joy. As Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly, that your joy may be full. Jesus, through Agape, is full of joy, full of happiness, full of worship for his Father. And here we see in Jesus the perfect expression of how to approach the Father. One full of joy, full of gratitude, daily rejoicing before the Father. And this is why the Son of Agape worships his Father and honors him as his God, the Son of God has a God, the only true God. And we turn to the book of John, chapter 20, and verse 17. Here Jesus clearly tells us who is God. And it's a text that is familiar to most of you. And Jesus says, speaking to Mary, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Jesus tells us that his God is our God. Do you understand the simplicity of that statement? Who is the only true God? The God of Jesus Christ. The God that Jesus worships. The God that Jesus adores. He loves his Father. He cherishes his Father. And that is why God has given him a more excellent name. Name meaning character. It is not by any great achievement, as Wagner says in the book Christ and His Righteousness, page 11 and 12 in the English. It is not through some great achievement that he obtained this name, but through right of inheritance. In inheriting all things, Jesus has a character of gratitude, submission, loving obedience. And this is the spirit that goes to all the universe from the heart of Christ to all of us. Only the Son of Agape possesses this spirit because his heart is full of gratitude. God the Son has no gratitude at all, for he received nothing from anyone at any time, in any way, in any place. Nothing. He is God from his own resources. And I say to you, in all sincerity, such a God does not exist in the Bible. Such a God is idolatry. To believe in a God such as this, outside of the Father, to believe that Jesus has no inheritance from the Father, is blasphemy of the highest order. It is those who worship such a being have on their forehead, if not turning from away from it, mystery, Babylon, the mother of harlots. And this is strong language, isn't it? But it is self-evident to those who have studied the scriptures that if Jesus has no inheritance from the Father, he has no gratitude. He has no joy coming from his Father. His heart is not intimately bound to his Father in gratitude and joy. If he is God the Son, he is only bound to the Father through mutual admiration. I love you because you are the same as me. I am attracted to you because you are just the same as me. This is not agape. This is eros, or the love of self, the love of one's own beauty, and therefore attracted to anything beautiful that it may be possessed and controlled. This is why at the heart of the abomination that makes desolate is the three-in-one God. It is the annihilator of the true God and his only begotten Son. As Ellen White says, God is the Father of Christ. Christ is the Son of God. To Christ has been given an exalted position. This is all. This is eight testimonies. Testimonies, volume 8, page 268, tells us these things. And why am I so insistent upon this point? Why does it appear that I'm laboring this point? Because in order for Jesus to be the Son of Agape, he must be a being that has received all things from the one who gave him all things. And in the heart of Jesus is the engine room of the worship of the one true God. In Jesus alone is true worship. We have nothing that we can give to our Father. We have no concept of what worship is or how we should approach God. No man comes to the Father except through Jesus. He is the only way to the Father because he is the Son of Agape. He has in himself gratitude. He loves his Father. He honors his Father. He submits to his Father. And he delights in his Father because the Father gave him life and gave him all things. And as we said last night, God did not simply give existence to his Son. He gave him life because he kissed him, hugged him, embraced him, and said, "You are my great delight. You bring me great joy, and I bless you." This is how Jesus had life in himself. It was created by his Father in him. In Christ was life original, unborrowed, and underived, because it was created in him by his Father through the blessing. In Christ, and no other place, can be found a life that we can partake of. And if you have read the book, My Beloved, you will know that I speak of the wisdom of God in bringing forth his Son. Because we cannot take hold of the life of the Father. If we look upon the Father directly, and by beholding, we would become changed. The Father submits to no one. And by beholding this image, we would submit to no one and we would die. Because we do not have life in ourselves. So God put life in his Son. He put life in a being that is fully submitted to him, but submitted not by force, submitted by love. In giving his son everything and giving him his freedom, the Son of God was free to do whatever he wanted with the life and the blessing that the Father gave him. Notice in John 6, I think it's John 8. Hopefully this is correct. Yes. John 8, verse 35 and 36. And a slave does not abide in the house forever. If Jesus were simply a slave to his father, he could not abide forever. He's not a slave, he's a son. But the son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And the word in Greek for free is completely unrestrained. No force, nothing compelling you against your will. And in order to be made free by the Son, by receiving his Spirit, the Son himself must be completely free in himself. The Father has not placed any restrictions upon him. And this is one of the reasons I worship the Son of God, and I honor him, and I cherish him, and I feel a deep seat of emotion towards him, because he has committed himself to his Father forever, freely, of his own choice. Everything his Father says to him, he believes it. He accepts it. He chooses nothing against his Father. But every time the Father says something, the Son has to make a choice. Do I submit to my Father or not? But he has determined to always obey his Father from his own free, unrestrained choice. God has not forced him. God has not manipulated him, because God is agape. Agape doesn't use force. Force is the last resort of every false religion. The government of God is not a government of force. Desire of Ages, page 22. And Jesus embodies the kingdom of God. He is completely free, though he has received everything from his Father. The Father has made him free to do whatever he wishes. And the Son has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You are my beloved Father. You have given me all things, and I love you with all my heart, because you have blessed me. And when the Father blesses his Son and rejoices over him with singing, the heart of Jesus is filled with such joy. His cup runneth over. And as his cup runs over, it falls upon us. And we receive of that joy. It comes from a heart full of joy. And this is the spirit that I want, the spirit of the Son of God, who loves his Father. When you receive of that spirit, you will have no other gods before the Father, for Jesus has no other gods before the Father. You will not bow down and serve other gods. How can you? You have received everything from the Father. You will not take the Father's name in vain, because Jesus never takes the Father's name in vain, but honors his Father always. You will honor the Sabbath, your parents. You will not kill, for Jesus never kills. You will not steal, for Jesus never steals. Why would he need to steal? He's been given everything. And everything that he has been given, he shares with us. We shall sit on the throne with the Son of God, even as he sits on his Father's throne. We shall inherit all things. And if we shall inherit all things, why should we be impatient? Why should we be concerned? Our Father has provided all things for us. And Jesus believed this even when he was in the desert, when it appeared that his Father had forsaken him. He believed his Father. And this is the test that each of us must pass through in order to have agape sealed into your heart, so that you, like Jesus, will say to the Father, "You are my God forever. I never want to leave you. I always want to be with you. I worship you from my whole being. My whole soul thrills for you." And when we have made that choice, we have to be tested. Is it true? In order to remove the last vestiges, the last pieces of our selfishness, we have to pass through the fire. Gold is purified by fire, so that when it appears that God has forsaken you, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And again, I presented a broader aspect of that story, but in this focus, we're all tempted to think that God should forsake us. In our case, because of our sins. Satan tempts us every day. You are not worthy of God's love. You're a complete fool. You do evil things. You think evil things. Why should you expect that God would love you and save you? Give up this foolish notion. But when we know that God is agape, we know that his love is not dependent on our performance. His love has nothing to do with what we do and what we don't do. And when you believe this, the goodness of God will lead you to repentance, and you will become a son of God forever. We have all been trained to believe that unless we can perform and do the works of righteousness, that God will not accept us. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? John 6:29. It's in our very being. But this is the mind of a slave. And the slave does not abide in the house forever, only a son. And a son inherits all things freely, without money, without price, without works. If you offer your works to God as having some merit, as Ellen White says, if you were to offer all that is good, all that is noble, all that is worthy in man as having some merit in the plan of salvation, it would be rejected as treason. Because all that is good that comes from us has already come from God. He is the only one that is good. There is none good but God. And we notice that Jesus is the one that said this. He said, the only one that is good is my Father. And of course, in saying that, he doesn't exclude himself on the basis that the goodness of Jesus is inherited from the goodness of God. His goodness, the goodness of Jesus, is the manifestation of the goodness of the Father. Do you understand? That's why there is only one who is good. That is the Father. He is the source of all goodness and all of the goodness of Jesus comes from the Father. Now, many Christians would scream blasphemy and they will tear their robes and say, he has spoken blasphemy. Jesus has his own goodness. Not the son of agape. The son of agape, all his goodness is inherited. All his goodness was given to him and created in him when he was brought forth and blessed by the Father. And this does not in any way take away the value of the Son of God. For the Father has called him God, and the word of the Father is sovereign. When the God of all things says to his Son, you are God, let all the angels, let all humanity worship him. God has said, we accept it. We believe it. We don't question it. We don't ask, what pedigree do you have in order that I should worship you? Do you have your own power? Do you have your own existence apart from anyone else? Who are we to put these controls or stipulations upon the Son of God? The Father says, worship him. And I see why he says this, because he is the only way to the Father. And this is why understanding the begotten Son is everything. It is the only way to life. There is no other way to the Father except through the begotten Son. Do you understand the implications of what I am saying? If you want a heart full of gratitude, you must worship the one whose heart is full of gratitude. If you want a heart full of joy, you must worship and honor the one whose heart is full of joy. And this is not God the Son. This is the Son of Agape, the Son of God, who inherited all things, brought forth from the Father. If you do not believe this, you will die. You will die. For Jesus, or John tells us, he that has the Son has life. Because the Son has the blessing. You are my beloved Son. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Thank you, Adam. 1 John 5:12. You must have the Son. Not God the Son. The Son of God. In order to access life. He that has the Son has life. Why? Because the Son is the only one who is blessed. And we remind ourselves, and Malcolm shared this with us last night, Psalm 133, verse 3, speaking of the oil that runs down the beard of Aaron in verse 2, it says, "For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. Life is in the Son because the Father kissed him and blessed him and said, Son, all that I have, I give to you." And I would add to this that in beholding this God who gave all things to his Son, we have a model for husbands of what they should do for their wife. As the Father has given his Son everything and blessed him, so the husband should do for his wife, to give all things to her and to bless her. And she